Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee, as a bride doeth. And let's pray. Father, we thank thee so for every blessed victory in this place over many, many years now. And yet this hour is a very special, sacred hour, singled out of the week. It's your place. These are your people, and this is your time. We pray that you do a work here in a very special way, even now. And bless, we pray, each person in attendance. Open our hearts and minds to thy word, and bless our preacher with thy special power. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want you to open your Bibles and keep them open for the message to Isaiah 49. I want to read just one or two of the verses Brother Colston led us in reading a while ago. I want to speak this morning on the subject, The Lord Hath Forgotten Me. The Lord Hath Forgotten Me. Isaiah 49, and just keep it there in your lap if you would. But right now I'd like to read in verse number 14. But Zion said, The Lord hath forgotten me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. What he's saying there, all the people collectively said, The Lord hath forgotten me, which means they said the Lord's forgotten us. And then individually, the people said, The Lord hath forgotten me, my Lord, individual, hath forgotten me. And God comes back and answers, Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and I love this next line with all of my heart. Thy walls are continually before me. That's not as beautiful to read as the rest of the passage, but it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and I'll come to it. So leave your Bibles open there, if you would, please, as I speak this morning on the subject, The Lord Hath Forgotten Me. Father, we come this morning just as responsible as we were last Sunday. Gospel's just as real as it was with Bill. We'll be held just as accountable for our diligence as we were held a week ago. Thank you for today, and bless us as we think on this great truth, wonderful truth, blessed truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for the first 5 minutes, follow me very, very carefully. I'll use no illustration for the first 5 minutes. I'll just lay the background for the question, for the statement, The Lord hath forgotten me, yea, my Lord hath forgotten me. God's people, Israel, were in exile. They were 400 miles from home in Babylon, some farther than that, maybe 500 miles, some maybe 600 miles, and that's a long ways in those days. Now, 500 miles now is not much. That's an hour and a half flight. But in those days, we're talking about several weeks' journey, long ways from home. They're in captivity. The city back home has been destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian armies have come, leveled the temple, beloved sacred temple, have leveled the walls round the city and leveled the houses of these people. And now these people have been taken away into captivity, hundreds of miles from home. And while they're there, they say together, "The Lord hath forgotten us." Individually they say, "The Lord, my Lord, hath forgotten me." Now follow me carefully. Let me show you the logic they used, and as I lay this foundation, I believe I can hold your attention later in the sermon if you'll not make me hold it now, if you listen on purpose now. Here's the logic they used. Israel had been out of their country before. Their fathers had spent 40 years in the wilderness. This was not the first time the people had been away from the homeland. This was not the first time they'd had no permanent temple. This was not the first time they had no houses in which to live. But wait a minute. The first time, when their fathers were 40 years in the wilderness, God had sent a little one-a-day vitamin tablet called angel's food, heavenly manna, every morning. Well, my soul, if you get a every morning food comes from God in heaven, you know God has not forgotten you. But these people are away from home, and they got no manna every morning. Don't you see? These people are away from home. Now, their fathers, who were for 40 years in the wilderness, they had a big rock in Horeb. And Moses could take that rod that God had given him and smote that rock once, and water came forth. Then from then on, all Moses had to do was speak to that rock. And miraculously, water came from that rock and gave quench for the thirst of the Israelites. But now these people had no such thing. They had no daily reminder that God remembered them falling from heaven in the form of manna. They had no water from a smitten and rock to which they spoke and received water. The last time God's people had been away from home, their clothing had not worn out for 40 years. Their clothing rejuvenated itself and did not wear out. But that isn't all. As those people grew for those 40 years, the clothing grew with them. Their shoes did the same thing. Their shoes no matter how much they wore, the shoes would not wear out. God gave them shoes that would not wear out, and replenished the life of those shoes, and likewise the clothing. As the feet got bigger, the shoe got bigger. As the body got bigger, the dress got bigger. As the body got bigger, the suit got bigger. Now these people say, our fathers were away from the land, and by the way, they, like us, were away from that land because they had sinned. But they got manna every day. We didn't. We don't. They got water every day from God. We don't. They got their clothes to grow with them and not to wear out. Our clothes stay the same size. Our clothes wear out. That isn't all. They wanted some flesh one time to eat instead of that manna. And God, you sent quail from heaven. And for days, they had quail. Look, God, they could look up and see that quail falling from the sky and know you hadn't forgotten them. They could walk out in the morning and see that manna that you'd sent, and they'd know you hadn't forgotten them. They could look at their shoes. They could feel their clothes and realize you hadn't forgotten them. But Israel said, now we are away from home, and the Lord hath forgotten us. And God replies. Listen carefully. I love it. God replies. He says, I've not forgotten you. And there are three things he says here. I love them. One, he says, I see you. I see you. Let me tell you a sweet thing. The other day I had an occasion to go to a cardiac care unit of a hospital. I was over to see Mary Washington. Or somebody. Anyway, are you with me this morning? Anybody listening this morning? All right, wonderful. But I was in a cardiac care unit of a hospital. Now, I walked in the room where this man was, and he was very ill. They were breathing by machine. And I anointed him with oil, and I prayed for him. As I started to leave, I felt sorry for the fellow. Here's a fellow we thought at the point of death. And yet, he's by himself in here. And only once an hour, I think for 5 minutes, does that sound right to you? For 5 minutes, the loved ones can come in. And I feel so sorry for him. And as I walked out, tears were in my eyes because of that man, supposedly near death, by himself in that room. But wait a minute. I walked out and I saw something that was beautiful. I've seen it before. Not exactly like they had it, but this is beautiful. I saw a line of ladies. That's not what's beautiful. Though it wasn't bad. I saw a line of ladies sitting like I think they must look at a telephone company switchboard. Each lady was doing nothing but watching television. That's all she's watching. Now, wait a minute. I asked some questions about that. And they told me that in that room was a camera. And that camera was focused on that patient. And every single patient in the cardiac care unit had a camera focused on him. And also a machine, one of those little things, doojiggers, that monitors your heart. Also. And that each patient had one nurse responsible for watching him all the time. That's all she did. She was watching him on television. The heart monitor, the camera. And I was thinking, that's probably the way it is in heaven. I mean, God's got a camera on every one of us. You ever wonder if God knows where you are? You travel like I do, you'll wonder. You sleep in as many motels alone as I do, you'll wonder. You fly through the night as oftentimes as I do, and you'll wonder. Do you ever wonder if God has forgotten you? That's what the Jews said. They said, God's forgotten us. He doesn't even know where we are. Oh, yes, he does. He's got a camera focused on you right now. Yeah, that's what he's saying. He's saying, I see you. I see you. And I'm convinced in my own heart that television is, as we know it, is just a little breaking of the ice of what God's had all the time. I mean, God's had the same stuff all the time, plus much, much more. But don't you think if that hospital, that lady that doesn't even know that patient, who's paid to do that, sets, and I mean, boy, I watched her. She did not move her eyes to the right. She focused her eyes, and I watched her. And the slightest move of that fella, she watched it. And she noted it. And that machine that was monitoring his heart, she noticed that. And I watched her, and I said, blessed be God. God's got his eyes always on me. Now, the man in the room couldn't see her, but she could see him. It's funny. Next week, I preached to a great crowd. In fact, it was the next night. I preached to a great crowd on a Monday night. And, probably a couple of thousand people there that night. And we had a great service, one of the best services I was in for a while. Had a great service. And they took me back to my room and let me out. And there I was by myself. I went to my room and I wanted to talk to somebody about the service. I just wanted to say to somebody, boy, wasn't that great? Isn't God good? Praise God. But there wasn't anybody there. They had been, I've been scared to death. But I walked in and I got thinking, I wonder if God sees me. And then I thought about that camera. I looked over to the door and waved. Hi, Mom. Hi, God. And hi, Mom, too. I hadn't thought about that. Hi, Mom. Well, my mom's watching my channel this morning. Hi, Mom. I mean, God's got his eye. Look at me. Sit up straight.
Look at me. Get excited. God sees you. He's got his eyes on you. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you're saying. He watches you. He's not forgotten you. Blessed be his name. He said to them, these Jews, 500 and 600 and 700 miles from home, he said, I've not forgotten you. They said, the Lord's forgotten us. My Lord has forgotten me. Young ladies, look at me over here. Look up. Look up. Look at me. Let's get in the service. Good night. This is God's word. It's God's message. Set up straight. Look at the man of God while he's preaching. It's an insult. Anybody to come to church and sit there and work on your fingernails while God's man's bringing God's eternal message. Oh, I tell you what. I wish I could get you as excited as I am about the fact that God knows where I am. He never leaves me. Now, I may not see Him. And I may say, because I cannot see Him, where is He? The Lord has forgotten me. The Lord, my Lord, has forgotten me. And God comes back and says, no, I haven't. I see you. I'm on His camera all the time. All the time. Blessed be God. Second thing He said. He said, not only do I see you, but He said, you are my children. He said, can a woman? Now, please. This is the Bible. I don't want anybody to snicker now. Nobody laughing. This is sacred. He said, if a baby is nursing at his mother's breast, does the mother forget who her baby is? A little baby is nursing at mother's breast. Walk up and say, ma'am, you have any children? I don't know. Well, you got one in your arms now. There's one nursing at your breast. And God said, can a mother forget her child who is nursing at her breast? He said, of course the mother can. But He said, if a mother could, I cannot forget you. He has not forgotten you. This morning, are you in the captivity of suffering? And you say, God has forgotten me? Oh, no, He has not forgotten you. Are you in the captivity of loneliness? You say, God's forgotten me. Oh, no, God has not forgotten you. Are you in the captivity of heartbreak? You say, God has forgotten me. Oh, no, no, God has not forgotten you. Are you in the captivity of bad reputation, recovering from sin, and God has forgotten me. Oh no, God has not forgotten you. You may not be able to see Him. That patient in there did not know the camera was on him. He was unconscious. That patient could not see that nurse diligently watching every heartbeat. And I got to watching her. She's watching that heart. God not only knows how I'm doing as He has His camera on me, but bless God, He knows what's in my heart too. He's got that heart monitor on me. He knows my thoughts. He knows my loneliness. He knows the pain in my heart as well as the pain in my body. He knows the heartbreak as well as He knows the body break, the bone break. He has His heart monitor on you. And on me! These Jews, 500 miles from home, lonely. Walls level, their houses level, their beloved temple level. And they said, God's forgotten us. We're over here by ourselves and there's no way to get out. We're here and we'll die. And God's forgotten us. Anybody here this morning think God's forgotten you? Anybody here this morning unemployed? You think God's forgotten that you're unemployed? He's got His camera on you. That on, He's monitoring that all the time. He's watching you all the time. He says, can a mother forget her sucking child? A child that is nursing on his mother's breast, can the child forget it? And God said, listen, God says, you are my child and I am providing for you. I love this. Now follow me.
That mother is not going down to the grocery store and buying some pablum for that child. That child is getting nourishment from the very body of that mother. God says, I'm not just providing food for you. I am your food. I am your food. God says, how do you expect me to forget you when I'm nursing you? How do you expect me to forget you when right now you're sucking on my breast, as it were? You're getting strength from my own very life. I feel life and virtue ebbing from me so you can have strength. How can I forget you? Bless God, He's not forgotten you. Here's a mother preparing a meal for her children. You have any children? I don't know. Well, of course she does. She's preparing a meal now. She's got the plates all set for each child. God says, I can't forget you. Let me tell you the third thing. I said a while ago, there are three. There are actually four. Just thought of another one. But there's a third thing. Look back to that verse again. Isaiah 49, look at verse 14. But Zion said, the Lord hath forgotten me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. And God says first, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Will I not forget thee? Behold, I have graven thee on the palm of my hands. Look at me. When I was a boy. See that hand right there? When I was a little boy. Time I was, well, all my life to the time I was 13 or 14, I had 40 seed warts on that one hand. 40. Had about a half a dozen on that hand. I had 15 or 20 right through there alone. I mean, all through here. I used to hide my hands. I'd go to school and stick my hands in my pocket. But I couldn't forget those warts. Every time they'd throw the ball and I'd catch it, I'd see those 40 warts. Every time I'd take a test and hold that paper, I'd see those 40 warts. God says, engraven on my hands, I have you. Somebody said, yeah, my name is engraved on God's hand. Know what it says? It says, you are. It says, you are. God's got a microfilm on His hands, got all our pictures on it. How can God forget me? Every time God reaches out His hands, He sees me. God says, me? Forget you? I see everything you do. I watch every step you take. I monitor your heart all the time. But He said not only that. He said, you are my children. I can't forget the ones who suck at my breast. I can't forget the ones I feed for my own life, and from my body flows out their life. I can't forget them. And God said, not only that, I can't forget you because you're engraven right there on my hands. Those Jews. We're not talking about a bunch of Jews that were right with God. We're talking about a bunch of sinners that were under God's judgment. God says, you're engraving on my hands. Now I've been looking forward to getting to this part of the sermon because my favorite part, look at that verse again, verse number 16. Read that out loud with me, please, verse 16. Ready, behold, I have graven thee upon the palm of my hand. Let me stop there. The word graven there is exactly the word tattoo. I have tattooed you on the palm of my hand. Look at the next line. Read it. Thy walls are continually before me. Read that line again. Thy walls are continually before me. Now, what in the world was God talking about? They had no walls in Babylon. They had no walls around their houses back home. Their houses were destroyed. Oh, I know what He's talking about. He's talking about the walls around the city of Jerusalem, isn't He? No. They've been leveled by the Babylonians and Nebuchadnezzar. When God said, thy walls are ever before me, what was God saying? Look at me. God was saying, the walls that will be built are ever before me. Hear me now. God looked down and He saw Nehemiah and the Jews building those walls. God saw those very Jews in Babylon back home again in their own land. And God said, what He's saying is this,
I see your deliverance. It's always before me. Look! This morning you look up and you can't see your hand for the fog and the darkness, and you don't know what's going to happen. And you say, what's the way out? Your deliverance is already, always before God all the time. God sees your deliverance. God sees your vindication. Wait a minute. These are sinners we're talking about. Hold it. God isn't saying, you faithful preachers of the gospel and you faithful, loyal people of God, I see your future. God is saying to a bunch of people who had sinned wickedly and were being punished for their sin so much they had to spend 70 years in the land of Babylon in bondage. God says, not only do I see you, and you're my children, and you're on my hands, engraved on my hands, but God says, every minute of my life, God says, I'm looking at your coming victory. I'm looking at your life after it's restored. I'm looking at what it's going to be someday. That's what God says. Let me tell you, dear friend, it may be that life has not been good to you, but our God knows where you are, and our God monitors you. But that isn't all. Our God sees all the time, right before Him, what is going to happen in your life one of these days if you'll just be faithful to Him, and if you'll just stick with Him and do what you can and don't give up on Him and realize He's still there and realize He's your God and realize that He loves you and realize that He sees you. What God was saying is, look, people, lonely people, people think you're forgotten. He's saying, you're not forgotten. I see you. You're not forgotten. I'm your Father. You're my children. You're not forgotten. Your name is engraved on my hand. But He said, not only that. He said, I've already got your future planned. I've got you back in the land again. As far as I can see you back in the land. And I can see those walls are now leveled. They're before me, and I can see them all the time. Let me tell you something, folks. Hang in there. Victory's on the way. Hang in there. You can rise again. Hang in there. God's already got the future plan. He's got the victory plan. If. But I want you to notice this. When the time came back to rebuild those walls, God gave His people a choice. They didn't have to come. They didn't have to come. You can give up if you want to, but you won't see the walls rebuilt. You can despair if you want to, but you'll never see those walls rebuilt. You can turn back if you want to, but you'll never see those walls rebuilt. But bless God, you hang in there. You say, Brother Howells, I've done something often, and God's punished me. And I'm in punishment now. Has He forgotten me? Of course He's not forgotten you. He sees your deliverance. He sees your restoration. And bless God, He planned your restoration. All plan. He sees it. You don't have to see it. Just believe He sees it. He was making and working. I don't know what your captivity is this morning. I do not know what you're a slave to. I do not know what it is that makes you wonder if God's forgotten you. But I'll guarantee you there are hundreds of people in this room this morning. You get to place sometime, you wonder if God even knows you exist. Oh, yes. He knows you exist. He knows where you are. You are engraven on His hand. He watches you through heavenly cameras that are focused on you. Folks, you never are off of God's screen. That's why you better watch what you do. You're never off God's screen. You ever see this program years ago called Candid Camera? Stay out of my preaching. Candid Camera. Years and years ago it used to be on. I used to watch it. I used to like that. Man, a wife, a husband be having a fuss. Guy'd walk in and say, y'all fussing? Yeah, we're fussing. What's wrong? Oh, she's a devil. He's a devil. You're on Candid Camera. The whole world saw him. God's got a candid camera on you all the time. You can look at it anytime you want to and say, hi, God. You can't see Him, He can see you.
If you think he's forgotten you, he has not forgotten you. I want to say this in closing. He has forgotten one thing. He's forgotten my sins. He's not forgotten me. He's forgotten my sins. Lord, we're over here in the wilderness in Babylon, 70 miles from home, been here for years. We get no manna every morning. We get no water from a rock. Our foes do not grow as our fathers did. Our shoes do not last as our fathers did. We get hungry for meat. You don't send any quail from heaven. You reminded them every day. You hadn't forgotten them. But here we are, your children, away from home. You've forgotten us. God says, I haven't forgotten you. Yes, you have. I know why you did. You've forgotten us because we sinned. God says, you what? You what? We sinned. You did what? Sin? Yeah, you remember. We didn't keep the Sabbath day. God says, I forgot about that. Oh, you remember. You remember all we did? You sent us down here to Babylon to punish us. God said, yeah, I remember sending you down there, but forgot why. Old Dr. Rice wrote the song from the scripture, remembered no more, remembered no more. My sins are remembered no more. He's forgotten my sins. Why? Beneath the blood. Underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Bless God, my sins are gone. That little lady that watches that monitor, she doesn't know what caused that guy to have that heart trouble. She didn't go back and check his diet. She isn't watching that monitor saying, dirty buzzard's getting what it deserves. Ate all the potato chips all the time. Yeah, he ought to have heart trouble. Cholesterol up to 14,302. Blood pressure, 700 over 500. Crazy guy eating all that candy, thought I had it. She doesn't do that. She takes him from where he is. She doesn't check and see what's gone on in the past. She takes him where he is. She's only concerned about one thing, and that's his cure. And that's all God's concerned about, is your cure. He's forgotten your sins. But bless God, he's not forgotten you. Talking to some little widow this morning. We're tough on you. Thanksgiving to you was a day alone in a little room somewhere. Sandwich of bologna and bread, maybe. And you wonder sometimes if God even knows you exist. Knows you exist. He's got his camera on you all the time. He's always watching you. Oh, bless God. I sometimes fly on an airplane and, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I look out and I see the darkness, and I'm tired, and I've been preaching, and I'm lonely, and I sit there on that stupid airplane, and I say, nobody knows where I am. Nobody. You call my house, you call my office, you can call anywhere. Nobody knows where I am. And I look up and I say, hi, God. Hi. He's got his camera on me all the time. It's always there. And I'm engraved on his hands. And he's so busy feeding me. And you have noticed how busy he's been lately feeding me. He's so busy feeding me. He can't forget I'm his child. He knows where I am. He sees me on his hand. He looks at that camera that follows me everywhere, at that receiver or a set. And that camera feeds a picture back of everything I'm doing all the time. I walked out of the hospital room that night, early in the morning. I couldn't help but thank God if a nurse that doesn't even know that fellow will sit there and diligently watch him. I reckon my God, who loved me enough to give his son to die for me on the cross, keeps check on me. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days grow weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. He's not forgotten you.
Father, what a wonderful God you are.